Hey, Jeffy.
Hi, Jeffy.
Welcome to Hey Jeff, Hey Julie, a podcast about Survivor. Danielle, happy 420, by the way.
Happy 420. Thank you. Happy 420 to you. It's actually a very important day for me.
Why? It's the day your lighting is good?
First of all, three people here live with us. I think we should all take a moment to acknowledge how good I look with the different lighting. I think it's very, the three people in the chat and Brett appreciate how much better the lighting is on me today. The reason 420 is important to me is it's actually the day that we got Lenny, my dog. We adopted Lenny on 420.
It's a gotcha day.
It is. And so, you know, what a beautiful day that brought this mangy little mutt into my life.
Mm-hmm. Very defensive.
You know what
Very
we watched?
Protective.
Yes. Brett has experience with Lenny. when we adopted her, we like put in the application at the rescue, and then we went and saw Shazam in theaters because we were like, we need something to do to kill the time as we wait to see if we're going to get the dog or not.
Oh, wow.
And so we went and saw Shazam in theaters.
Were you stressed? Were you like, I hope?
Yes, because every text or every call, like, for some reason, we both kept getting texts and we both kept thinking it was the rescue, and it wasn't. The whole movie, we didn't get anything. So we were like, we sadly went home thinking, oh, I guess we're just not getting our dog today. Right as we were putting the keys in the door, they called us and were like, hey, we know you put in an application for these two other dogs, but do you want Lenny? And we were like, yes. Lenny was our third choice, but we did still want her.
Oh, gosh. Were you checking your phone in the movie?
Yes, because we thought, like, at any moment we were ready to go. Who cares? Like, it's Shazam. Wait. It's Shazam.
I would say something to you in the theater. What?
Yeah, you would. And I would
say, what are you doing? Put your phone down. I need to hear the story of how this boy becomes a superhero.
Yeah, and I would have been like, it's Shazam. Get a life. I'm trying to get a dog here. A dog is real life.
I am a quite avid movie shusher. Yes. And baby shusher, too. I'm a quite avid movie shusher and turn your damn cell phone off person. And I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast. I once saw a movie and someone kept checking their phone. And I was just like, stop. Stop. And they kept doing it. And they were like, It's an emergency. And I was like, then leave.
Leave.
If your sibling is in the hospital with an arm hanging off, then don't be here.
No, they're trying to get their mind off of it. Maybe that's what we were trying to do. We're trying to focus on something else for another two hours.
Whatever.
You know what? Whatever. We got the dog. Whatever. We got the dog out of it.
Third place. Bronze medal. No. Who were those other two dogs?
Oh my God. They were so cute.
Were they beautiful?
One was like a tripod dog.
Oh God. Okay.
And then one was like the fluffiest, like looked like a corgi, but was like a rescue mutt. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but it was so freaking cute. But they were like, do you want Lenny? And we were like, yes.
Anyways, so much to talk about today.
So much.
We're going to talk about Survivor in a moment here, but Fallout on Amazon Prime, Danielle watched all of it, I believe. Watched two episodes. People are talking about it. Trap. Hartnett's back. Trap time.
It's trap time.
I have a few other Hollywood casting and cancellation updates to share. But Danielle, we have to start. Best episode of Survivor in quite some time.
Wow. Well, let me just say, the quality of Survivor has truly gone up since I started leaving my phone in another room. And you did text me. You were like, this is an episode where we should leave our phones in the other room. And I'm so glad I did. I thought it was fantastic. It was a bit long. They're all still a bit long.
That's not changing.
No. But there
it's
was
It's still
like,
the same exact 90 minutes.
I was really happy. I mean, we're going to jump around as usual. I was so happy that Q, after like the bomb dropping at Tribal, where he's like, you know what? Just vote me out, guys. I'm so happy they did not.
He didn't want to. He didn't want to. Q is a literal genius. Yeah. Q is a literal genius. I don't know. He's so smart that I, a person viewing at home with an objective perspective, because I understand how everyone is individually playing the game. Even I can't see what his his true strategy is. No, so he must be playing on a smarter, better level than me.
4D chess.
I think what he was trying to do, because he, this is not the first time, this is not the second time Q has threatened to quit the game. I think my guess is what he was doing was, this was his shot. This was his like shot in the dark, but not the the thing that they do. But his way to just be like, who is he trying to get out? Right. He was trying to save Teb, and he was trying to get out Liz. Right.
Tiffany.
Tiffany. He's trying to get out Tiffany. Right. Which we need to get into his strategy of how he got there, but. He was trying to get out Tiffany, and I think he understood that the votes were basically against him. And I think what he was doing was like, if I cause so much chaos that people don't know what to do at Tribal, then maybe I can actually get enough Tiffany votes to get her out. Because maybe me and my little Tiffany vote out Tiffany consortium can have three votes and everyone else is going to go willy-nilly and random. I think that's what he was doing. It was so much fun to watch, and like, man, I love the Q is amazing, and
he's great.
We gotta keep this guy. We gotta enjoy the time we have left with him, because who knows? Because he's such a wild player.
Exactly. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, he only heightened it this episode. But last week, my question to you was, is Q good or is he just confident? This episode cemented it. He is really confident in like the most wild harebrained schemes is the best way to, because it was in between hide and seek as like way too much, putting a lot of strategy into
it. Love it. Loved the hide and seek segment because no matter what you did, that was proof that you needed to go. Danielle, let's play a game. Can you describe your morning to me? And I, Q, am going to describe what my thoughts are on your strategy this morning.
So my morning started off great because I lied in bed with my foamy cappuccino for a good 20 minutes before my
I'm going to stop you here. The fact that you sat in bed for 20 minutes means you're too comfortable in this game. Mm-hmm, it means, and you had a foamy cappuccino, it means you like nice things. That's why I, as Q, decided I need to vote you out.
I know. He was like, he would have been an amazing improviser, actually.
He is. He basically is.
Yeah, he is an amazing improviser. Because anything, he could fit anything into the game that he wanted to play, right? Like,
he's
anything
incredible.
He could make into, he could yes and anything into like, and that's why I need to get you out. And it was very funny to watch.
They were playing hide and seek. Liz found Q. So for that reason, she is playing too hard and she must be voted out. Ben was too hidden. Nobody could find him. For that reason, he must be voted out. Hunter was too hidden. He was hiding in plain sight.
He kept hiding.
For that reason, he must be voted out. People who were too easily found, that shows their weakness. That is why they must be voted out. Yes. This was incredible. Like, this is what, for as much as we complain about the 90-minute episodes, this is something that I don't think we get in a 60-minute episode. And, you know, lots of weeks, there's like, let's all just hug and like name Taylor Swift songs. Okay, that's a bit rough. But when you get this hide and seek thing with a truly galaxy brain genius like Q, describing how every other person's play style is actually a reason to vote them out, was incredible.
It was the best. Some of his, I mean, I guess I was just thinking about Will Smith this week anyway, because he did that like surprise set at Coachella, I think it was. He like came out and did Men in Black. And apparently like the Gen Z response to this was like, wow, Will Smith is so talented. Wow, like, wow, this guy's real. The guy who punched Chris Rock.
This old guy does music? Yeah.
Yeah, this old guy is actually pretty charismatic. And so I was thinking about him this week. And the thought of like, at his peak, there was no one like Will Smith. Like, there was no one as charismatic, as much of a movie star on a hit show, a music career. And I'm being so honest, is when Q was giving some of his confessionals, I was like, he's got that Will Smith energy. He's got, like you said, the Riz. There's something about him that I'm just like, I want to watch more of you. I love him. I am sad. I'm preemptively sad because I think you're right. I just don't see how he could possibly last that much longer because he is such a great character, and he's just like so out there. But I love him. I love him.
Okay, I have a complete tangent to go on.
Okay.
What happened to Will Smith? Because it wasn't the punch. It was not the punch.
No. The punch was part of a symptom of the bigger problem.
That was the end. That was the end. I know he won an Oscar that year, but like that was almost the end. That was almost the like, okay, you are going, like we're putting you on an island. Like you're banishing you.
No, because then he wrote the book. Didn't he write the book after?
Will Smith, okay, you Gen Zs, like Will Smith was the most popular movie star in the world for 15 years, 10 years, from like basically 1996, Independence Day, maybe earlier than that.
Earlier, I think.
Bad Boys, maybe.
Bad Boys, yeah.
For like a decade straight, like I'm like bigger than like The Rock or bigger. I know The Rock is kind of
bigger.
Like,
no, definitely bigger.
I would say bigger. He had a music career. The Rock
and
never
the TV
released.
Show.
And a TV, yeah. And then just like
a hit TV show.
Stop. And it was just like, well, can we make this movie? Yeah, well, Will Smith is in it. So it's going to open to like $200 million. Just every movie, no matter what it was. Rom-com, sci-fi movie.
Hancock.
Adventure movie. All that stuff.
Yeah.
And then it just stopped.
Well, he started picking a couple duds. He was going for the Oscar route. Like it was a very clear turn in his career where he was like, I'm not as interested in doing like the action-y blockbuster. I think it was like Wild Wild West fizzled, right? And so then he was like, let me get an Oscar and do like Ali and
Yeah, which he was nominated. Yeah. Which I don't know if that was a hot one.
But you know, he went down that route because he is a really good, I think he's a great actor. Yeah. Because he has that certain special something that just him and Tom Cruise have, you know, it's like, or him and Julia Roberts. It's like five people on earth have this. There is a new, we could also go down another tangent about like the new crop of Hollywood stars. Cause there is a new, I think there's a new guy who has the Riz. I think the answer might surprise you. You know, yes.
Yeah, it's Glenn Powell. It's easy. Yeah, Glenn Powell has Riz.
Glenn Powell. I saw the trailer for The Assassin. Twisters. Or no, The Hitman.
The Hitman. That looks good. That's
really good. Netflix.
I'm there for The Hitman. I'm there for Twisters.
Twisters. I think it's like Glenn Powell and Q are our new generation of stars.
Yeah. Should we become talent managers?
I mean, I can see it from a mile away. I can spot it, whether they got the goods or not. Q's got the goods.
Yeah, you and I.
You know who else has the goods?
Venus. Yes. We're on the same level today.
I know.
You and I are.
We are firing off. It's because of the spicy jalapeno drink I have.
It's because of the second coffee that I'm having.
Well, Q, we've just decided. Big star. Big, huge star. Let's talk about...
You a star.
Should we talk about... I mean, RIP, Tevin.
I mean, I said it in like the first or second episode. Like, he's not. He's nice. He's talented. Like,
he was a good character to have.
Like, he was a good character. I loved how he could just like string like a very competent and eloquent and beautiful sentence together, and like say it with panache and pizzazz. At the same time, it's like. Because he has like, his whole thing is like, I'm an actor. It's like, well, you're not an actor because you're on fucking Survivor. Like, so I don't know.
He got too high.
Hit me up when you're on Broadway. Hit me up when you're in Inherit the Wind.
He got too high on his own supply. I mean, I know it kills him that he went home before Venus.
For sure. But
because Venus is high on her own supply, even in a different way.
Venus is playing the game. Venus is completely. Venus, who I love. Is also kind of a clown. Like everyone thinks she's a clown show, which is why she's actually going to end up kind of doing well in this game, unless she has come dangerously close to doing this numerous times. But unless she really pisses off the wrong person on the wrong day who can scramble the six votes or five votes or whatever they need against her, anytime she does something like that, everyone's like, oh, Venus, like she's a clown. Like she thinks she's in control, but she is so out of control that people actually aren't really that threatened by her, despite her kind of having this almost like snake-like game where it's like she's this cobra and you're like, oh no, I'm afraid of the snake. But then you talk to the snake and you're like, oh, you're a rubber snake. You can't actually do anything. The funny thing is she's taking all this credit for the soda tribal council. And then Tevin's like, I want the credit for that. It was my close ally who I backstabbed and led this vote against. And then it's Liz rapidly rising the Bready All-Star ranks.
Yes.
Who's like, actually, I organized that whole thing. I want the credit for it.
Well, wait, Liz is not a Bready All-Star at all. Liz is like a character for sure. I think Liz rose in the ranks of like an interesting character this week. Liz is the marketing specialist, right?
Yes. Yeah. The 35-year-old divorcee. She also says in this word, sorry, I'm going to say a bad word. She says, she's talking about Venus earlier in the episode. And Liz says, I thought I was a bitch. Venus. And then she also says that she has a huge ego as well. Liz, problematic queen.
Problematic fave. Look in the mirror, Liz. But that's what she has. I think what makes this season strong is the fact that I'm watching it without looking at my phone.
Great.
And the fact that we have a lot of Delulu players. Like a lot of them are in their own delusions of grandeur.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh.
So.
Oh, absolutely. Let's just go through the list of who's left. Venus. Absolutely.
Queen delusion.
Tiffany, I think she's got her.
She's pretty grounded, actually.
She's grounded. Q.
Yeah.
King. Delulu King. Maria. Grounded. Liz. Off. She's on Delulu. Mars.
She's the Joker.
Kenzie. I think she's grounded.
Her sweetness will be the delusion. There's different flavors of delusion, and I think hers is like two rosy-colored glasses.
Hunter, who's gonna win this?
Hunter is the footman. Okay, Hunter is like Hunter. I don't know. Obviously, I have a grudge against Hunter for bringing down the entire medical profession by not becoming a doctor, but. There's something about him that like rubs me the wrong way.
This man doesn't talk
about him.
This man is so clearly better at Survivor than everyone and all of the competitions. Granted, he won the immunity and he has an immunity idol, but like, we're not going to get this guy out. We're just not going to do it. Q is playing games of hide and seek to be like, because Kenzie hid in a bush, that signifies that she is the burning bush from the Bible. And that means I should vote her out. Like, this guy's so good at Survivor and he's better. He's like literally lives in the forest. Like, what are we doing? Anyways.
I think he's got two that I don't appreciate. When Venus, I mean, to be fair, Queen of Delusions, when they're having their like group chat and Venus decided to confront them to try to get them to stop, which was like a beautiful moment. That's the kind of moment when I say cast villains, that's the kind of moment I want. I want someone who's not afraid to go confront a group of people despite like having not a leg to stand on and be like, stop talking game or like include me in your game. I loved that moment.
That was a great moment. The six for the first time, roughly all the six, because I think Tevin was in the six as well. The six like publicly gathers to talk strategy. Yeah. And everyone else is like, I wonder what they're doing. It's like, what the fuck do you think they're doing? Tribal council is in an hour.
Exactly.
And Venus is like, I'm going to tell them to stop talking because you guys are clearly in an alliance together.
Yeah. But then Liz is like, actually, Venus, we're going to keep talking for a minute. Okay. And so Venus walks away and Hunter is like, that's fine. But like Hunter's like, why can't we just vote her out? And there's just like I don't know, there's something in the way he said it. And I was like, I don't like this guy. No. Any enemy of Venus is an enemy of mine.
two more Delulu potential princes. Charlie,
I have to say, really won me over in this episode. I know there was like some chatter in our Discord about how like he talks about Taylor Swift too much. I agree. But he also has some really funny lines and like funny delivery of those lines that I was kind of like chuckling at him a la Jeff. Jeff likes him a lot too.
I agree. It's, man, I'm having a rough week here in regards to our nation's, our world's queen pop star and her ever presence everywhere. And my boy just doesn't stop. But I thought he was pretty good in this episode too. I thought the best moment was after the wacky tribal, he walks into the voting booth and he's just has this shrug of like pure exasperation. Like, what am I doing here with these people?
Yeah.
Ben is like our final. Ben, okay. So we're going to say semi-grounded.
Yeah, definitely grounded for Charlie. Ben also rose in the ranks for me, only for the like two lines he had in the tribal council. I don't even remember what they were, but I was like, because the whole episode, I was like, honestly, he might as well have just been in that green t-shirt hiding the whole episode. Because I was like, who is that? Oh, that's Mr. Vest hiding in the green t-shirt. Like, he's hiding in plain sight. That's sort of how he is throughout the whole episode. But then during the chaotic tribal council, he said he was just like so over it. And he was like, this is just such a fucking mess that I don't know. I liked him. I enjoyed it. He was like, I actually want to vote him out now. I don't know if that was him, but he said something like that.
I feel this way about like four different people, but Ben and Liz and Maria, maybe more, maybe someone else. I don't even know. And Venus as well. I think I've said this a number of times, but I'm like, pencil them in for third place, no votes.
Mm.
I can see all of that. I can see that happening.
I also do think Liz rose my estimation as a player just because even though it was ill-advised in a way, I did like her being like, I woke up today and realized I'm just supporting everyone else's game. I want to make my own game, to play my own game, do my own thing. I was like, okay, I do love that. We love that.
Yeah, I mean, these people are actually like trying to play their own individual games this year rather than just being like, yeah, you know what? Someone else can win Survivor as long as they're my best friend. They can win. Right.
Screw that.
I want to go back to the chat. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go for it.
Philip G in the chat says, the meaner they are to Venus, the faster she's getting fast-tracked to angel queen status. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I feel myself going that way. I'm like, don't talk to Venus like that. How dare you? I was really rooting for her to win immunity just because she's just this like tiny.
I thought she was
going to. She weighs 10 pounds. I thought she was for sure going to hang on to that thing. The freaking Hunter practices in his backyard all the time.
Philip G also says, Liz is Mariah. Wake up, everyone, with clap
emojis.
But
who's Mariah?
She was the one who looks exactly like Liz, who was voted out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, right. You think it's a twin twist?
Yeah. Who famously was unable to jump. She lacked the hamstrings and calf muscles in order to do so. Yeah. Terrible, terrible accident. I need to talk about the Q's strategy a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's been the same for a number of weeks, which is I have an alliance of six. This alliance of six is going to get to the end together, and we're going to get to the end of the game, and then we're going to duke it out because we're going to have the six strongest players here, and I want to have a strong person win the game. And so my goal is to get out someone from outside of the six. Last week, Tim, who was in the six, was his target because Tim had suggested other people in the six maybe as a target. Okay, that's fine. Whatever, Tim's gone. We're going to put Charlie in the six. We're still six. We're still the alliance of six. Charlie's in the six. Tiffany throws out some names, maybe someone in the six. Q, for the second week in a row, says, you know what we should do? We should get out someone in the six. I just want to stay for the record. He keeps targeting people in the six for targeting people in the six.
Yeah.
And completely reducing the numbers. If I am Venus, if I'm Liz, if I'm... Tiffany's not in the six. Like, Ben's not in the six. This is like the most, and I think Charlie even alludes to this. this is like the most unorganized, not real alliance ever, because the whole point of an alliance is that you protect everyone in there. And I know he's like going to the extreme version of that. He's targeting people for targeting people in the six, but like, just get out other numbers and that's going to protect you. And he is doing a horrible job of that. And I think it's so funny.
Yeah. What was the, what, why did, when, okay, going into tribal.
Yes.
It was like, okay, the editor set up, people want to get either Tiff or Tevin out.
Both members of the six. How right. is this that you have this power alliance of the strongest players and you're going into tribal council when you have the upper hand in terms of numbers and you're like, well, it's either going to be one or another person from within the power alliance that has the most numbers. Incredible. Incredible gameplay. This is why Q is so much smarter and better than us.
Well, so yeah. So he gets a tribal and he's like, actually, I feel really...
Actually, me!
I feel, yes, everyone should vote me out. And everyone's reactions, Jeff's reaction, everyone's reaction is just beautiful thing, a beautiful thing to behold. And they go back and forth, like, should we just get him out? Like, he's not going to be much use to us. He's ruining our plans. Or we shouldn't give him what he wants. We shouldn't reward this behavior. It was quite a thing to behold. Jeff was having a good time. I'm still not entirely sure why he did that. That's why I was hoping you might be able to explain. He was just feeling guilty?
Why Q suggested himself?
Yeah.
I think it was what I said at the beginning of the episode. I think he had the sense that Tevin was going to be the vote. And this was his crazy dice roll was,
right,
let me do something so chaotic that people don't, and I'm not going to tell anyone I'm going to do it. And people aren't going to have a time to connect with each other to strategize about it. I'm going to do something so chaotic that maybe three or four people don't vote for Tevin and they vote for Venus instead, or they vote for their most personal interest instead. And then maybe we actually have the two or three Tevin votes that we need to get out Tevin, or I'm sorry, Tiffany votes that we need to get out Tiffany, which is what he wanted to do. I think that's what he was doing. I'm sure we'll learn next week. I'm sure the first like confessional next week, it's like the middle of the night, they get back to the camp and Q's like, I actually didn't want to go home. This is my real plan. Was that the six is actually fake. There's actually eight people in the six. There's actually nine people in the six. The six is actually the entire remaining cast of Survivor.
Yeah. And I'm here for it. Danny's all-stars, who are the opposite of Brett's all-stars, which are the most chaotic, most unhinged, most likely to bring drama. Q, Venus, Liz. Those are who I'm rooting for.
Oh, I'm rooting for them as well. Brett all-star doesn't mean I'm rooting for this person. It means I am high on this person.
Yeah.
Because of their quiet power.
Yes.
Because they're barely a character on the show. Liz exactly. is actually, yeah, maybe Liz is falling out of the, out
she's
of.
She's 100% out. She's too, like, she's her own special character, I believe.
The issue is, you know who's actually turning into Brady All-Star is Kenzie. She was, like, really much a power player in the beginning of the game. She's just hanging back.
Prom queen, though. I don't know. I don't know if she can be a Brady All-Star.
I'd ask her to prom.
She has to like stab someone in the back. That's what that will be the true.
She's got to stab growth. Q. She's got to stab Q in the back. That's the thing.
Yeah. Or she has to stab Mr. Vest in the back, you know, to be like, yes, I helped you with your anxiety attack. You can, but I still want that $1 million.
I'm your nurse. I'm your nurse. You can trust me. I know how to ease your pain. Oh,
she'll be like the good nurse.
I just gave you a lethal injection. Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
How did Eddie Redmayne kill people in that show, in that movie?
Instead of giving them the medicine they needed, he gave them like water like something bad. He gave them insulin when they didn't need it or something.
Oh man.
But like just enough that it was pretty much indetectable.
Has any first vote out person, first evictee, gotten as much screen time and like callback time as Jelinski.
Oh my gosh. I was like, bring Jelinski back. It's the only thing that will make this season out even better.
We got to get him as a returner. We got to get Jelinski, Bruce, Cameron from BB19 or whatever it was.
Philip G in the chat says, Liz is at the internet cafe on the other side of the island trading Bitcoin.
Yeah. I believe it.
She's got like this vibe. I don't know. I think people underestimate her because maybe they're like, oh, she's just like a nerd in glasses or something. But I there's something about her that's got like very intense energy that I like. I like it.
Could be that she hasn't pooped. She revealed that she's not pooped.
She can't eat anything. Like, right. She's the one with all the weird allergies.
She's the one who's like, yeah. She's like, I came here to Survivor, the place where you only eat coconuts for 26 days. And I'm allergic.
Honestly, when Q was really mad about them not getting their eyes, I was mad too. I felt for him in that moment. I thought that was so stupid. The fact that they couldn't get two other. Come on. You guys don't want to eat? These idiots thought they were going to win this thing. The only person who had a chance was Venus.
I loved it. I loved that they didn't get it, and immediately everyone fell down. Immediately enough people fell down.
I would have been so mad. I would have been livid.
I would have stepped out for Rice, and I would have been like, "Listen, not everyone's going to win this here. Like, we need this." And like,
I would call you people out.
Liz, Liz stepped down, but like Ben, who nobody is even aware,
you're not going to win.
You're not going to win this.
Tiff, you're not going to win. Tevin,
even if they staple your leather vest to the pole, you're not hanging up there. Get down. I would have been pissed. I get pissed about that stuff.
Yeah,
I have one more final Survivor point.
Okay.
Q skirt. You investor. Right. You early adopter. You not buying it? Are you buying it as a gift for someone else, but not for yourself?
As much as I love Q, I'm on the record as loving Q. This was one of those moments where I was like, okay, this is a 90-minute episode. Like, snip, snip. Like, we don't need, I get it. He's very charming. Did we need to see this as much and bring it back during the competition? I don't think so. But, so I'm going to say no, I would not buy it.
Okay.
Not investing.
For that reason, Sharks, I'm out.
I'm out.
All right. Are we done with Survivor? Do you have anything else on Survivor?
No, I think that's it.
All right. We have some television shows to discuss, some news, some really rough news out of Hollywood, Danielle.
Tell me.
After renewing 11 scripted shows for 24-25, CBS has made its first cancellations of the season. CSI Vegas and So Help Me Todd have been canceled.
No. I can't believe So Help Me Todd hung on for a long time, though.
It was only on for 2 seasons.
That's a long time for a show like that.
It's a long time, I know, yeah. And it should also be mentioned that young Sheldon and Barb Hart's Abishola are wrapping up as well, but they're wrapping up on their own terms.
Of course, they're not being canceled. They're huge hits.
But this is the final season, yeah. As well as Blue Bloods.
Oh,
welcome to New York.
Tom Selleck does not want to come back. He lives in Hawaii. He has to fly back to freaking New York City every year to film Blue Bloods. He doesn't want to do that anymore. He wants to just stay.
You think they shoot that shit in New York?
Yeah, we do. Don't they? Where is it?
I don't know. I know. I think it takes place in New York or Boston. Maybe it might be a Boston show.
I think it's
they shoot that shit in LA. Probably they have like a street. They have like one street, like probably like 40 yards away from the Big Brother house.
Where the weather in LA, I'm hearing, is even worse. I wouldn't want to go there either.
Oh yeah, we have more rain than Seattle this year down here.
I've heard this. I do want to go on the record as saying, I am going to watch an episode of Elsbeth, and I'm going to report back on it here. Elsbeth, renewed, baby.
Renewed? So help me, back. Todd? No. Cancel. Elsbeth? That's the Hey Julie bump.
Right there. The Elsbeth trailer, which plays a million times when I watch Survivor, is so funny because it's just focused on people not understanding her name. It's like, there's nothing about, what is this show? Who is this person? She's welcome Elspeth. To New York.
Welcome to East New York. She's crazy. She's crazy.
I also sent Brett a tweet this week about, which I didn't realize, but Sheldon, young Sheldon and old Sheldon in Big Bang Theory's entire life is based on a lie, just in case anyone was worried about that. I found that shocking.
Are you going to describe?
I don't know if I can, because I didn't watch either of these shows, but I still, okay. So
I haven't either, but I got read the tweet that you sent me.
Old Sheldon hated his father because he walked in on his father as a child cheating on his mother. But in young Sheldon, they decided to retcon that memory, and instead of it being his dad cheating on his mother, it's his dad having sex with his mom, but the mom is wearing a wig. So because they couldn't make the dad character a bad character in young Sheldon, they wanted to keep him like a lovable character. But so they never clear up this misunderstanding, and Sheldon goes throughout life thinking his father cheated on his mother, causing probably unknowable amounts of pain and trauma.
That's why he's a nerd. Maybe he would have been a jock. Maybe he would have been a jock. Maybe he wouldn't have been in Big Bang Theory at all.
Maybe he would have been a reacher.
Yeah, maybe he would have been a reacher.
Or Tracker, maybe he would have the other one. Help me talk. You know that there's Tracker? I bring it up every week. I'm left.
Tracker's on CBS too, yeah.
Tracker is unbelievable. An unbelievable ripoff. Okay, I'm going to watch an episode of that too. Let me go put it on the record.
Okay, another piece of news from Holly Weird. Let me tell you, Keanu Reeves is reportedly teaming up with acclaimed filmmaker Ruben Östlund for the upcoming airplane disaster film, The Entertainment System Is Down. It has been teased as, quote, a social satire set on a long-haul flight in which the entertainment system isn't working, sparking chaos and rages among passengers.
Love it. We'll watch. We'll watch.
Absolutely. Ruben's got my money. Keanu's got my money. Have you been on a flight where the entertainment system is not working?
Yeah. I've been on a flight to LA from Toronto where there was no TV screen. WestJet, there was no screen. I didn't come prepared. I had nothing but my thoughts for like 6 hours.
You had to raw dog it for 6 hours. Horrible.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe a plane like this existed in 2023, which is when I took the flight. I don't think so.
Well, so I fly Southwest a lot because I live in Southwest. They don't have the screens, but what they do have is like, there's a free Wi-Fi system. You can't access the real world, but you can access their Wi-Fi, and they have a bunch of movies and TV shows that you can watch on your phone. They're like, you have a phone, you have a screen, watch it there.
Yeah.
If you log on to the Wi-Fi, we'll give you access to these like dozen or two dozen movies and TV shows. You watch it on, bring your own device. I'm there for this movie, Triangle of Sadness. I liked a lot, despite it having its flaws. Mm-hmm. So I'm there for Ruben Östlund. If you aren't familiar with his films, Triangle of Sadness, also highly recommend Force Majeure and The Square. Also, like, this is not a real premise, because it's like, you don't have a fucking iPhone, you don't have an iPad. I'm loaded. I'm ready to go. I got the phone, I got the iPad, I got enough stuff. I assume there's not going to be a screen, and I assume the screen is going to work. I'm set. I'm ready to go.
I think they're going to have some way to explain it. Speaking of premises that are so fun, let's talk about Trap. M. Night Shyamalan's new movie. So the trailer dropped this week. It's Josh Hartnett starring in Trap, where he plays a father bringing his daughter to like a Taylor Swift Beyonce-esque concert, like a huge stadium concert. And it's like, we know something's going to happen because it's M. Night Shyamalan directed it. But so he brings his daughter to the seat and he's like, oh, I just got to go to the bathroom. Are you sure going to be here alone? And she's like, yeah, Dad. So he goes to the bathroom. For some reason, he stops. He sees all these cops. He stops and talks to a very friendly concession worker who explains to him, oh, yeah, it's because it's a trap. This whole concert is a trap.
I love this dialogue. For a serial killer.
And then, so you're like, oh my gosh, the serial killer is going to get the daughter who's sitting alone in the theater. But then Josh Hartnett goes to the bathroom and he pulls out his phone and he's looking at his home security footage, which features like this guy tied up. And you're like, oh my gosh, Josh Hartnett's the serial killer. How fun. And everyone's like, oh, how dare they give away the twist? Do you really think that that's the twist?
That's not the twist. That's the setup.
I know. People are so stupid. But so it looks so fun. I learned later, the biggest pop star in the world in this trailer is played by M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, which I absolutely love because I looked up, apparently he's like on the record as being like, yes, I'm going to boost my daughter's career as much as possible. Deal with it. I love that.
She's also directing another film that's coming out this year. Oh, that's her too, or is that his other kid? Okay, maybe not. I don't know. Sorry, America. I am not keeping Shyamalan children.
Whatever. I'm not keeping a roster of them. Like, yeah.
But literally, there was a trailer for another movie called like The Cell, not The Cell, starring J-Lo, but like something where like a bunch of people are like in some sort of like public, they're in the forest and they're like in this cell and there's like scary monsters around. I don't know. And the trailer's like from M. Night Shyamalan, from producer M. Night Shyamalan. And then it says directed by like Lily Shyamalan. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
I'm down. I love it. I love him. No, this one, I support him.
No.
I support him in all of his endeavors. I've always been a lover.
It is Passover next week. Y'all remember Passover?
Yeah.
Unleavened bread, matzah, Prince of Egypt.
A chair for Elijah?
I'm not Jewish enough to know. I thought Elijah was like, we always do the chair for Elijah. Like Hanukkah, sure, Elijah. Purim, sure, Elijah.
You do everything. Yeah, okay.
I don't think so. I don't know. No. But one of the plagues, right?
Oh, yeah.
Boils, yes. Locusts.
Frogs.
Firstborn son.
Yeah.
If you don't have the blood on the door. I am pro plagues. I am especially, not for everybody, but for Nepo babies.
Plagues for some.
Plagues for Nepo babies. Why do we need, what artistically does M. Night Shyamalan's children have to say as directors?
I'm actually pro Nepo baby.
Bryce Dallas Howard's career. Why? Why do we have this?
I'm pro. I feel like they're doing us a favor. They're just like offering up their spawn. I think they're more, they've been in the world. They're likely to have inherited some sort of talent or charm from their parents.
No, they should work at a freaking Starbucks.
No, I'm pro. I like.
If I was M. Night Shyamalan or Ron Howard or The Rock or whatever, and I had kids, and they're like, I just want to be a movie star like you, or I want to do this shit, I would be like, no, you got to work. You got to work in a Macy's. You got to work at the returns counter at Target. Like you have to do that for years. Like yeah. You.
But then you're gonna give in and get him a job.
At that point, they're gonna hate me. They're gonna want to do their own thing. Matt May's The Watchers is the name of the movie that's directed by Ann Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that The Trap is on my watch list.
The Trap looks good. I'm down for The Trap. We all get psyched about Shyamalan. This man has not made a good movie in like decades.
Knock at the Cabin was okay. No, but you know what? I always like watching. I loved The Visit. I like watching his movies. I think they're a fun ride.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, The Trap definitely looks.
It's sort of along the lines of Alex Garland. You have to give it up and respect someone who's just like a true, like he's going to do whatever he wants. It's original IP usually. I guess Old was based on like a comic book, but it's usually like his own crazy little ideas that he puts out there into the world. He's got his own style. I respect it.
I'm not saying that he's an undeserving artist. I'm like, he should make movies. He's like, he makes genre stuff. He makes like popcorn, stupid stuff. Like we need more Trap than like whatever the fucking Fall Guy is right. Disgusting. That movie looks awful. Yeah. And there's going to be...
I mean, I can't even think of a detail from that movie.
Whatever that is, whatever the next Marvel crap is or whatever, we need more of Trap than that. At the same time, it's like, he's not Ruben Östlund. The entertainment system is down.
Okay, let's talk about another, like, this is what people really want to hear about. This is the biggest hit in pop culture right now. The biggest hit TV show.
Biggest hit, because other stuff isn't performing very well.
It's not. And this is a hit. This is called Fallout on Amazon Prime.
Danielle, can you start by saying which of the Fallout games you've played through all the way to completion?
I'm a poser. I'm a new fan, not a real fan. Well, my thing is, the name Fallout is familiar to me, but yeah, I'm so not in the gamer world that it's like, yeah, it means like nothing to me. However, I do think it's very funny, and I don't make any bones about that. I don't try to pretend like I'm gamer girl. I'm not.
Gamer girl, yeah.
But I do think it's funny how all of these fucking Johnny-come-lately fans suddenly are like, oh yeah, I definitely loved Fallout. I played Fallout. Everyone suddenly played Fallout. Okay, what? Were we friends? Because I don't remember you telling me about how much you loved Fallout back then. Suddenly everyone loved Fallout and they know all the details. I'm coming at this purely from an entertainment perspective, purely from someone who loves TV and movies. I didn't know what it was, but I saw a clip of it on TikTok. And I thought, and it was this clip of Ella Purcell, who plays the lead, Lucy. And I thought to myself, I love this girl. I just love this girl. I love this character. She's so cute. It kind of reminded me of Buffy. And I was like, I got to watch this show. And so then when I told my husband that I wanted to watch Fallout, he was like, there's a Fallout show? I loved Fallout. I loved Fallout. You want to watch it? Great. So it really was like a beautiful time for us to watch this show together. I thought it was excellent. I loved it. I couldn't wait. We paced it out over a week. So we watched the whole thing. It's funny. It's got great casting. It's got great gore. It's creative. It's just like, it's kind of along the lines of Dungeons and Dragons, Dungeons and Dragons, the movie. Dungeons and Dragons, yeah. Because it's like, yeah, these characters who are like pretty original, pretty unique, really well played. I just think the actors, like, we all know Walt Goggins is so great, but like Ella Purcell and the guy who plays Maximus are like these finds. I mean, they're like, this show is going to propel them into the next stratosphere because they are so good. And these are leading roles, and I had never really seen them before.
Not to mention the dog is going to come after Messi's throne.
Don't even talk to me about this dog, okay?
Messi is going to be like, Messi is like, I don't read. You either cast me or you don't.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, well, this dog from Fallout's there. You got to audition.
Oh my gosh, dog meat.
You're with the dog from The Artist. That's where you are, Messi.
We're going to go into a couple spoilers inevitably. So if you haven't seen the whole show, I'm so sorry. But
We don't have to. Okay, I've only seen the first two episodes, so I don't want to go that spoilery on it.
Okay.
I think my question for you is how you obviously have not played the game.
No.
What did you think of like the world of it? Were you like coming in fresh? I played Fallout 4, but I'm familiar with like some of the games. But like, what did you think of like, oh, it's like the 50s, but it's also the future?
I loved it. I had no issue.
I think that's one of the things that's working for the show and works for the game as well, is like dichotomy of like violent imagery, a post-apocalyptic imagery, and like jaunty songs from the 40s is like, that's good content. That's just it's good.
And I mean, I just was like, yeah, this is just the world. Like, if people can't tell by now, I love when a creator, when a visionary, when an auteur is just like, here's the world, a really well thought out world. And I thought that Fallout had that. Clearly it's working from existing material. Yeah. But I was, after the first episode, I was like, oh my God, it's Chris Nolan's brother. Like, this guy's a flop. Like, if you saw Westworld, as I did, I mean, I gave up, but you know, I couldn't keep watching it. Yeah, but Westworld started so strong, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest show. Thank God. A great show on HBO, Sunday night show. three episodes in, you're like, what the hell happened? I was worried that was going to happen with Fallout. But I guess Jonathan Nolan saw the error of his ways. He fixed it up for this one.
Or maybe there's other people there. Maybe he's just there. Yeah.
But he's who I would have blamed if it went wrong.
Can I give you my thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, first, I do want to shout out Matt May in the chat says, is Walter Goggins better in Fallout or the unicorn on CBS?
I forgot about the unicorn. Wow. Bring back the unicorn.
I know. They're going to be clamoring to bring it back because now everyone is horny for Walt because of Fallout.
Hey, excuse me, Les Moonves, who doesn't work at CBS anymore. I got an idea for you. That So Help Me Todd slot, unicorn. Unicorn.
Yeah, starring Fallout King.
Remember when people would like send in stuff to like Hollywood offices, like send in a million rubber ducks to save the unicorn. Send in the million unicorn toys to save the unicorn. I watched the first two episodes. I was very pleasantly surprised by the first one. And Ella Purcell. Wow.
A star. Like,
wow. Amazing. Star. Amazing. Yeah. Kenzie who? Prom queen who?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm asking Ella Purcell at the prom.
Yeah, absolutely. She's so
Kenzie's
good.
Kenzie's standing there crying, holding up.
Crying on the side. Okay. She's on the bleachers.
Yeah, and the guy, I apologize, the guy who plays Maximus, very good.
He's so unique. He's just so different. Like, it's a different take. I like it. I don't know.
The guy who plays the Weasley little brother. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Loss. Ben Emerson. Good. The dog. Very good. I don't think I was as high on as you. I think I'm going to keep watching. It was just a lot better than I thought it was going to be in the first episode. And the second episode left me a little bored and cold and frustrated with like, oh, this is just like a video game TV show.
That's not what I thought.
I think adventure is a very difficult genre for TV because I think TV is really about like the characters and about putting the characters in different situations and different pairings together and playing with and also confirming your expectations around them, which is, oh no, Tom Wamsgans sits down and eats a piece of Logan Roy's chicken. And you're like, whoa, no, what is Logan going to do?
Yeah.
You know, on Lost, you have these dozen characters with very clearly defined characters and wants and desires. And they're put in weird combinations together. That's what television is. It's like, you know, okay, Ross and Joey have to go do a thing. Oh, yeah. Phoebe and Chandler have to do a thing this time. And then, oh, next episode, Phoebe and Monica have to do a thing. And you put the characters in different positions together. And this show kind of has three characters?
Yeah, there are three main characters, at least for this season. And dog meat.
The actors are amazing in this show because I think these are relatively one-dimensional characters, cardboard characters, flat characters that the actors are doing a lot of a really amazing work with. And it's kind of just like, for me, it feels like this is only after the second episode, which is like, is this show going to be like, oh no, we have to go to this town and a bunch of violent shit happens and a bunch of people's heads and brains and arms get blown off. And then they say a couple quippy things and then, oh no, we have to take this to another town and find this MacGuffin. And then while they're there, okay, a bunch of people's arms and faces and heads get blown off. I was a little worried after the second episode that that's what it was going to be. And I think an interesting show to compare this to is Last of Us, which many people, including myself, had the same fear about, like, okay, is this going to be Walking Dead again?
Where I thought this was better than Last of Us.
Where they go to a new town and there's, oh no, there's either some zombies in the town that we have to kill or some bad people who might be worse than the zombies. And I think Last of Us elevated beyond that because it was really, really character driven and put the characters above the, oh no, are zombies going to get them? Oh no, is an evil man who runs an evil town going to get them? Which is why people kind of fell off with Walking Dead. Obviously, Walking Dead still has a lot of fans. But after two episodes, I think I'll keep watching. It felt a bit one-dimensional to me by the second episode. I think it's still better than it really has any right to be, and it's better than most stuff, but I was a little losing my footing after two episodes.
I think the best thing to compare the first season to is The Wizard of Oz. That's what this season is. There's only three of them. There's three characters who have to go on a journey, and eventually we're going to find the wizard who's going to explain it all to us, right? Or like explain a little bit more of this world and our understanding of it. Ella, Lucy is Dorothy. And then, I don't know, take your guess as to who's the scarecrow and who's the cowardly lion.
Who's the dog?
Dog meat.
Oh, it's Toto. As a joke, because there's also a dog. There's a dog in Wizard of Oz.
But, and that, you know, like this, Michael Emerson is the one without the brain.
There's literally a man in a tin metal suit. Mm-hmm. And there's literally a man that is like a zombie dressed like a scarecrow.
It's like one needs a heart, one needs to become brave, one needs to find a brain, whatever. That's what this season reminded me of, which I loved. I thought the season is great. I totally disagree about like the one-dimensionalness, because I just thought that there was so much to these characters, and I agree that that's what makes a TV show worth watching. I thought these characters were much more interesting even than Last of Us, except for the Nick Offerman episode. But like, I just think there's so much to it. And I said this in the Discord, but when I was describing when I was teasing why Danny loved it so much, you know what they do in this show? They get horny. you know what they want to do? And you know what they do? They love their wives. Like Walter Goggins. There's like this big talk, right? Like a lot of the discourse right now is like, wow, all these women who have never watched or never played Fallout are watching Fallout and they're loving the ghoul. Like what? The ghoul is a freak. And it's like, yeah, he's a freak who loved his wife. So that just goes to show.
He's Tom Jane in Arrested Development. He just wants his kids back.
Yeah, exactly. He's a wife guy, okay? He is a wife guy. That's all you need to be to get Danny on board, is to have a great wife guy. Okay, go ahead.
Philip G in the chat. Brett is describing the Star Wars trope of we have to go to planet A to find X, but Fallout is so much better. Philip G, I'm going to spoil something for you. I think Star Wars sucks, all right? Yeah, that is a Star Wars trope, and it sucks. If you want to, like, laugh for 2.5 hours straight, Star Wars Episode 9 : The Rise of Star Walker is the funniest movie ever made, because it is literally the Human Giant sketch. Let's go. Human Giant. Google it. Go to YouTube. Type in Human Giant. Let's go. It is, nothing happens in the movie other than they go to a place and they go, oh no, we have to go to another place. Let's go. And then they go for 2.5 hours. It is awful. And Star Wars is for children, and any adult who gets mad about Star Wars needs to reevaluate their life. To clarify, I am not getting mad about Star Wars. I don't care about Star Wars.
I'm not mad.
You're getting mad about Star Wars. People who are angry or upset about casting of Star Wars. Oh no, this person shouldn't be cast in it. Oh no, like a Jedi can't hold this kind of lightsaber because they're a woman or whatever. You're getting mad about it. I don't care.
Okay.
This stuff is on children's lunchboxes.
Yes. The casting ties in. Matt May in the chat said, Last of Us is all drama. Fallout always had a parody comical aspect to it. Exactly. Another reason why I loved it. It had so many great, there's like John Daly has a bit part in it. Chris Parnell shows up. what's his name? Fred Armisen has a little bit part. Like, you can tell that the creators of this show were like, you know what? Let's have some fun with it.
That's maybe the other aspect of maybe why I'm brushing against it. Because as we know,
you hate comedy.
I hate comedy.
I don't like comedy either. But this comedy was funny. It was good. Because it's like, it lightens the mood. Because they're like, oh my God, look at they threw the puppy in the incinerator. That's so sad. That was really sad. They throw these puppies in the incinerator. Michael, that's how you knew Michael Emerson was a good guy, is he saved that one puppy.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cute. But
there was a moment in the second episode where I'm like, where'd that dog? Where'd that dog go?
I know.
Where the dog I'm going to stop watching the show if I don't get some resolution about this dog.
The dog ASAP. The dog has a lot of adventures too. I think it is 100% like we have to go here. We have to go here. Here's the new thing we have to find in this town. But I don't mind. I think it's done really well. I really do.
Yeah, I think that's really tough in television. Tough for me. Like, I think that suits a film better than television. I kind of don't want to see that week to week. Certain shows are able to pull it off a little bit better. I'm much more interested in, like, character combinations and character interactions and, like, investigating themes in a television show. I think that's what sustains them rather than, okay, we have to go here. Okay, we have to go there. I don't know. I'm gonna keep watching. I think, but I don't know how much longer I can take it. I'd rather watch. Here's the thing. I am a SiriusXM radio subscriber. Okay. And let me tell you a station that is saved on Brady's favorites. 1940s Junction. I like listening to music from the 40s. I drive and I listen to music from the 40s and I'm like, I feel like I'm in Fallout. I feel this is nice.
I mildly tolerate.
Yeah. And when they play songs, I'm like, hell yeah. People getting their heads blown off. People getting irradiated and eaten by mutant zombie rat.
Ghouls. Yeah.
Ghouls things. Yeah. While like some lovely song about like kissing your boy off to World War II is playing. Yeah. That's great.
But that's enough for you. You don't need to watch. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. I absolutely loved it. I mean, this is such a big hit for Prime. And I think between this and Reacher, Prime is like doing something right. They got something good going on.
So help me God. Canceled. Fallout renewed season 2. It's happening.
Sure.
They instant announced it. Like, yeah, this is coming back.
Well, guys, I wish we had more Fallout to talk about. Unfortunately, we don't. Thank you so much for your comments and questions and joining us in the chat. I think we have to wrap.
Chat was lit today. I do have to answer a question that's been sitting in the Discord. Pisky asks, Q4B. That's Brady. Yeah. Do you like Coke Spice? This is the spiced diet, or not Diet Coke. This is the spiced Coca-Cola product. I just need to address this.
Yeah.
I've not had it yet, but I'm interested. There are some disgusting commercials, I shall say. The commercials are not doing it for me.
Right.
But if one of our fine listeners who subscribes to the Discord, who's a member of the Discord, asks me to drink a stupid soda, next time I get gas and it's like there, I'll check it out. I'll report back.
Okay. Well, there you go. Investigative journalism. Thank you for that question. Thank you for your comment. Thanks for being for us in the chat. We'll see you next week. Join the Discord.
Yeah.
Bye, Jeff.
Hit us on Twitter, I guess.
Yeah.
Email us. Okay, whatever. Goodbye. Bye, Jeff.